There is a rule we try to tell our young priests. When you give a sermon, don't cover a whole bunch of topics. If you cover a whole bunch of topics, people are going to not remember what the sermon was. After the mass, people say, what was the sermon? I don't know. We covered so many topics, I can't even remember. So we tell the young priest, stick to one topic. But you know what? Today I'm going to break that rule. Don't call me a hypocrite, but I'm going to break that rule because I'm going to talk about two things. The first thing I'm going to talk about, we had this past week, the Feast of the Guardian Angels and also the Feast of St. Michael. And we are blessed with a nice statue of St. Michael to my left, over to your right, St. Michael the Archangel. We also have the Angel Gabriel here. There are three angels that we know by name in Scripture, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. But the angels are not some pious legend, no. Throughout sacred Scripture, we read about the work of the angels. But what are angels? Angels are pure spirits. They have no body, but they have intellect and free will. Before God created man, God created the angels. And he gave them three special gifts: wisdom, great power, and great holiness. But God wanted the angels to prove themselves. He put them to a test. How do you test an angel? How do you tempt an angel? Angels don't have any body. You don't tempt them to gluttony or drunkenness or anything else like that. God put them to a test. And based on sacred Scripture, Scripture scholars believe that that test was God revealed to the angels something very special was going to happen in the future. That the second person of the Trinity, this God the Son, would become man. He would take a nature lower than that of the angels. And a number of angels rebelled against God. Lucifer said to God, non serviam, I will not serve. And he with the rebellious angel were cast to hell. This is not just, you know, like they say, a legend, this is reality. God knew before he created the angels, before he even created man. He knew everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. And so there's this battle in the world today. As St. Paul says, the battle is not between flesh and blood, not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And what is that battle over? The battle is over the salvation of men. Why is it that Satan and his rebellious angels want our damnation? Why does Satan want to bring us to hell with him? I know they say misery loves company, but it has to be something more than that. I mean, who is the devil picking on me? I mean, I don't even know him. No, God, in his infinite love for us, gave us guardian angels to protect us because Satan and the rebellious angels, they want to get back at God. They want to get back at God. And how do they get back at God? By trying to rob God of the things that are most precious to him. And that's the souls of men. God put us human beings, us men in this world, for one purpose. The only reason why we're here. To know him, to love him, and to serve him. Because we're all going to die one day. We're all going to die and be buried. But where is our soul going to be when we stand before God? Well, that's going to be up to us, how we live our life. If we kept God's commandments, if we prayed our prayers, if we had a relationship with God. This life is only a testing ground. And that's the reason why Satan, trying to get back at God, is going to try to lead us into sin. You know, before we were baptized, one of the questions put to us, do you renounce Satan? We do renounce him. And all his pomps and works, we do renounce them. Satan will use anything in this world to lead us away from God. And that's why St. Paul says we're in a spiritual battle for our souls. That's one of the reasons why when we pray the Hail Mary and honor the Virgin Mary, we say, pray for us sinners now, right now, and at the hour of our death. Why is the hour of our death so important? Because the devil goes all out to lead us away from God. When someone's dying, the devil has his last chance to rob that soul from God. You know, we've heard of possession, diabolical possession. They even made some dramatic movies about it. But it's no game or joke. The devil is very real, and he's very active in the world today. There are two types of attacks from the devil. Obsession. Obsession was the devil's attacking someone outwardly. But possession is when someone, unfortunately, the devil takes possession of them within them. He controls them and what they do. Possession is something that we read of in sacred scripture, how Christ cast out the devil from people. That's the reason why in the Catholic Church we have what we call exorcism. For obsession, when the devil is disturbing someone, the remedy is what we call the Pope Leo XIII exorcism. All priests can do that, commanding the devil to leave. But if it's possession, priests have to get the permission of the bishop, they have to fast, they have to pray, they have to do penance. Because as our Lord gave the example to his apostles, one time they were trying to cast out the devil, this man was possessed, they couldn't do it, and Jesus cast him out, and later the apostles said, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Because some devils, he said, are only cast out by prayer and fasting. But God in his love for us has given us a guardian angel. We read this in the Gospel of St. Matthew. You don't scandalize little ones, because I tell you, their angels see the face of God in heaven. So we all have been given by God a spiritual bodyguard to protect us, a guardian angel. All of us, I'm sure, have perhaps in our life had some instance or some situation where we think, man, how did I avoid that evil? Well, I could tell you one that's interesting, and I think maybe I've told it to you before. One of our parishioners, Bob Waltz, he's in Wisconsin. He's 78 years old and he's still logging, cutting down trees. I'm like, man, I hope I'm alive at 78, but cutting down trees at 78, that's pretty good. But he said he cut down a tree, and as the tree was falling, it hit another tree, and this other tree is coming right at him. And you know, it is like, it's happening in a matter of milliseconds. He thought, I'm dead. And as the thing's falling toward him, it fell right in front of him, and right where it fell, there was a V, and the limbs were split there. And it fell right, if he would have been another foot forward, he would have got killed, crushed by this tree. That didn't happen by accident. Also, I know I always pray to my guardian angel when I get into the car. You know what the chances are of dying in a car accident? 1 out of 70 people are going to die in a car accident. That's pretty high. I always pray my guardian angel when I get in the car to protect me when I'm driving. And as I told you many years ago, I go for a third mass down to Kansas, and one, it was a hot, hot summer afternoon, and I'm driving down, it's like 90-something degrees, and my car's overheating. I can't believe it. My car is overheating. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I turned on the heater, so that air is circulating through the engine and cooled it off. So the temperature went down, but man, I rolled the windows down, I'm dripping with sweat. Heater hitting me, 90-something degrees out, and I get to Auburn, Nebraska. I'm dying of thirst. Now I drive a stick shift, manual. So I put it in neutral and I glided up to the gas station, right up to the front, jumped out, got a bottle of water, paid for it to come back. My car is gone. Where did it go? Somebody stole my car in this small town. No, I drove it up and I put it in the neutral. I didn't put the emergency brake on. It slowly backed all the way back into the highway. Highway 75. People are stopping and honking at my car with nobody in it. how I didn't hit a car, hit a person, hit a gas pump, how I didn't hit somebody, you know, when it rolls out there and people slam on the brakes. That was my guardian angel. And I jumped into the car and I just got out of there as fast as I could. And I'm thinking, you fool, put your emergency brake on. I don't care how hot you are. And I was drinking that water, like, thank you, guardian angel. I heard this, and I'm not sure if it works or not. I heard this, okay? I'm not saying to speed, but if you ever get pulled over by a police officer for speeding, pray to your guardian angel to pray to his guardian angel that he doesn't give you a ticket. Just give it a try, okay? And if the man listens to his guardian angel and doesn't give you a ticket, that's great. But I'm not telling you to speed. I'm just saying, pray to your guardian angel, pray to his guardian angel, they're going to give me a ticket. That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. Second thing, October is a month not only dedicated to the angels, but it's also dedicated to the recitation of the rosary. And I just cannot underestimate how important it is to pray the rosary. What is the rosary? The rosary is made up of vocal prayers and, more importantly, mental prayer. When we pray the mysteries of the rosary, we're meditating on the life and death and resurrection of Christ. We are opening up sacred scripture. We're meditating on the mysteries of our divine Savior. When I think of the rosary, I'm reminded of Pope Leo XIII. Pope Leo XIII, back in the 1800s, every year that he was pope, he wrote a letter, an encyclical letter, encouraging the recitation of the rosary. The rosary goes back to St. Dominic, 800 years ago. He prayed to God and to the Blessed Virgin for some means of fighting the heresy of Albigensianism. And our Blessed Mother appeared to St. Dominic and says, Dominic, this is the weapon that you should use to fight. When we think of the joyful mysteries, we open up the Gospel of St. Luke and the Gospel of St. Matthew. We think of the Annunciation of Mary by the angel Gabriel and her humility. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. We think of Mary's charity and the second joyful mystery. When she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she went with haste. Third joyful mystery, we think of the beautiful example of Christ, the light of the world, being born detached from the things of this world. He came to make us rich by he himself being poor. Our Lord was born in a stable. Jesus was presented in the temple, and Holy Simeon took the child in his arms and blessed God and prophesied, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be contradicted. The loss of Jesus in the temple, when Jesus stayed in the temple for 3 days, those were his first words we read in the Gospel. He told St. Joseph, his foster father, and the Blessed Virgin, his mother, did you not know? How did you search for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? What does that teach us? All of us need to be about our Father's business. The sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. We think of Christ's love for us, the sufferings he endured, sweating blood, jealous of his bitter passion from his Father's hands, being scourged and crowned with thorns, and carrying his heavy cross to Calvary and finally being nailed to the cross. We know the precious blood shed for our souls. Then we have the glorious mysteries, our Lord's glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and disciples on Pentecost, and then we also remind ourselves of our powerful intercessor in heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary. October 7th is a very special day. In 1571, the Muslims from Turkey, the Turks, were going to overrun all of Europe. Pope St. Pius V called for all the Catholic countries to gather together, rather than fight amongst themselves, get together and destroy this common enemy. If not, we will be destroyed. And he told all of Christendom, pray the rosary, pray the rosary. And it was in the Bay of Lepanto, off of the coast of Greece, that the Christian fleet under Don Juan of Austria faced off with the Muslims. the cross against the crescent. The Christian fleet was outnumbered, but there were priests on the boats giving general absolution to all the soldiers on ships, asking God to forgive them before they go into battle. And when they went into battle, the wind suddenly changed in their favor and gave them the total victory and advantage and saved Christendom from being overrun. The Battle of Lepanto is not the only time of the intercession of our Blessed Mother by praying the Rosary. There was also another battle at Belgrade. There was also another battle that was won at Vienna. Once again, the Muslims were overrunning and overrun Europe, and it was by the powerful intercession of Our Lady. You know what's the interesting thing, little tidbit of history? In each of these cases, Lepanto, Belgrade, and Vienna, each of the ones leading the battle for the Christians was named John. Don Juan of Austria. There was another John at Belgrade, and the King of Poland, John Sobieski. It's a unique thing that these three men, three different battles, three different times, three different locations, but they all had a great love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and they asked for a powerful intercession. What does this teach all of us? It should remind us of the importance of prayer. We need to pray, and the Rosary is so simple a method, so simple and easy a method. One interesting story that I read, there were two men that met in a train when everyone traveled by train, when airplanes was not invented or really around. Everybody traveled by train or by horse and buggy. So there's two men on a train. There's an elderly man praying his rosary, and there's this young college student across from him. And the young college student looks with a little contempt, like, oh, he's praying a rosary. That's for simpletons. That's so outdated, I can't believe he's doing that. That's just, oh man. So they get talking, and the college student's boasting about how much he's learning and what his career is going to be and all this other stuff, and the guy's smiling. Okay, it's good. And every conversation, keep praying rosary, ends his rosary, puts his rosary away, and the college student, goes on a little bit more about how smart he is and all this other stuff. And the elderly man says, hey, nice talking to you. And here's my business card. And he gets off the train. College student looks at the business card. Dr. Louis Pasteur, the renowned Dr. Pasteur, who invented and come up with so many things insofar as bacteria and all those things that shook the world. This renowned doctor scientist is praying the rosary. And the college student went, shh, he went down. So even very holy people and very intelligent people know what life's all about. It's about getting to heaven, and we get to heaven by especially prayer, and what easier way we can do than praying the rosary. One last thing. I have heard people say, I'll pray it late at night, and if I fall asleep, my guardian angel finishes the rosary. Now, I've read a lot of theology books. I've never read that, okay? And I think whoever came up with it, he might be in purgatory right now. Okay? When we pray, don't wait to the end of the day when we're tired and we can barely keep our eyes open. Pray early. Let's give God our very best. Pray the rosary early and make it with good meditation on the mysteries of, like I said, sacred scripture. The family that prays together stays together. Make it a habit to pray the rosary as families. If you're really busy, come on, we all drive, take out the rosary. We can get those decades in very simply. It doesn't take that long. And how important it is, that's a very important part of our spiritual life, the daily rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.